sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us. And, of course, every Friday, we are brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Corey and the gang do a great job. They have the best in domestics, imports, and microbrews. Did I mention beer?
Yeah.
Soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and the pickle bar. They know at Brewers Outlet that they have a huge fan in the barrel pickles. That is moi. Kevin, of course, had to text me during last night's game, when it was 24-0, about another Thursday night blowout. After the Texans came back and they had two opportunities to win, and finally Indianapolis survived 33-28, I did text Kevin back and saying, I'm the kind of person that likes to allow the game to breathe just a bit. A little fun back and forth between the two of us. It's all right. We have a lot of fun doing this. The Steelers, of course, will play Sunday. When they take on the Cleveland Browns, the game will be at Cleveland. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Then we're going to transition to Penn State football, and we're going to talk about the recruiting side of things with Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated next half hour. Then we'll work and lock in on the game with Chris Adamski from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. We will then close out the show with a look at television sports with Steve Samsel from TalkingTV.com, who also writes a column across the board on several papers across the state, among them the Altoona Mirror, but there are also several other papers in the state that pick up Steve's weekly television column. So we'll talk with him in the final half hour of the show. Shikellamy Shamokin coming up tonight on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin and the coach, Dick Hort with the call coming up this evening. Looking forward to that. Among the games that we'll be carrying this evening as well. Milton and Danville and, of course, Selins Grove all in action tonight on another great Friday night for high school football up and down the valley. Penguins opened up last night, beat the Anaheim Ducks 6-4. Good win. The Ducks were really good last year and appear to be poised to be very good again this year. And the Pens had a couple of goals and an assist from Sidney Crosby last night. Pasquale Dupuis scored as well in his return to the lineup, and that was last night as well. Todd Gurley suspended, not by the NCAA. He is suspended by Georgia. Because the school compliance department is looking into whether he signed dozens of pieces of memorabilia in the spring in exchange for cash. And Andy Staples of SI.com reports that he may have been paid the sum of $400 to sign 80 items, maybe a few more than that, on campus in Athens one day this past spring. That's an Andy Staples story in SI.com. We'll talk more about that in the next half hour before we get into Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated. But let's get into the Steelers and talk about Steelers football here. And that means Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Well, you get to talk about another win. What stood out plus to you? What stood out minus to you as they move forward?
A plus, I think you have to agree with how Mike Tomlin opened his press conference today, which was the first four-quarter defensive performance by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know that it was against the young Jacksonville Jaguars offense with Blake Bortles at quarterback, but the fact that they actually played four quarters, didn't shut down in the second half, that has been routine now for them in this 2014 season, only holding them to 9 points, getting two interceptions. One of them was a pick six. It's a big step forward, I think, for that defense. Negatively, the red zone offense is where I point to. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head how many trips they had, but they didn't run the football in the red zone one time in four quarters of football and only put up offensively 10 points against a very, very bad Jacksonville Jaguars defense. So that's probably where I'd go for my positives and minuses.
Okay, let's get to the defensive side of it. I mean, they did bottle them up. What are the Steelers doing, Jeff, that's very effective against the run right now?
Well, I think you can see them playing the stretch zone a lot better than they did in the first few weeks. I mean, they played the Cleveland Browns week one, Baltimore Ravens week two. Both those teams run that zone stretch scheme. It's been really successful against Pittsburgh. And I've noticed it's the inside linebacker play of Lawrence Timmons, mainly Lawrence Timmons, who has increased his play as the years progressed. And they're the ones that you get in the outside linebacker, setting the edge. And they're the ones that are coming up in the middle making that play and not allowing the linemen to kind of get to that second level. And it's proven to work. Now, Carolina Panthers, you know, they didn't really run that scheme, but nonetheless, the Jacksonville Jaguars did. And they did a good job of shutting that down. Lawrence Timmons' play has improved tremendously over the last few weeks.
All right, moving forward, it's going to be Cleveland, obviously, coming up. The running game for Cleveland, or their run defense, actually, has been the Cleveland's run defense has been very, very good. So concerns for Mike Tomlin there?
With Pittsburgh running the football, you mean?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if Pittsburgh is really afraid of anybody in terms of running the football. Le'Veon Bell has been proven to be able to run against some really good front sevens, example being the Carolina Panthers. But I think that Pittsburgh's offensive game plan should just be balanced. And if they can use the pass, the quick-hitting passing that Ben Roethlisberger has proven that he can do successfully, it's going to open up those running lanes. They're not going to be able to shove 7, 8 defenders or even sometimes 9 into the box to try to stop the run. I also like how Tomlin and Todd Haley have been mixing in LeGarrette Blount. It's a little bit of a change of pace. He's not as patient a running back. He has really good speed. He plays his angles well. Le'Veon Bell's that guy that'll stutter in the backfield, find his opening, and then hit the hole. It's just a completely different back. They've been using him more. I think that's only going to add. It's going to add a new dimension to the offense and the running game for the Steelers.
How do you feel Ben Roethlisberger's playing right now?
I think he's playing pretty well, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at the receivers he's throwing to, I mean, Antonio Brown's playing out of this world. But outside of Antonio Brown, who is he throwing to? Marcus Wheaton has been good for a second year of receiver, but for asking him to go out and, you know, have 800 yards receiving, it might be a tall order. And then who do you have after that? Darius Hayward-Bey, who has one catch on the year. Lance Moore can't find the field. Justin Brown, second-year guy who's from Oklahoma / Penn State. I mean, it's one of those deals where Ben Roethlisberger's wide receiving core is not that of Peyton Manning in Denver. I think he's doing a lot with what he has. He is targeting Antonio Brown significantly more than any other receiver, but who wouldn't when you have Antonio Brown as one of your receivers? I think he's playing very, very well. I wrote an article today for the website that he has actually thrown his last 3 games. He's had passer ratings over 100, and only one time in his career, in 2007, has he actually had 4 straight games of a passer rating over 100. So I think when you look at statistics like that, he's not turning the ball over as much as he has in the past. I think he's playing well. Could he play better? Certainly. But I think you could say that about any NFL player at this point in the season.
Heath Miller, I know he had a bunch of catches in the game before this. How do you feel he's playing at this stage?
I think as well as a tight end his age should be playing. I mean, obviously his mobility is limited from his age, but also the fact that he had that 2 years ago had that real bad knee injury towards ACL, the second to last game of the season. And he's just that crafty veteran now. He knows how to work the zones. He and Roethlisberger are definitely on the same page. When it comes to those run-pass options, which Steelers fans have now become very synonymous with, and the fact that in the loss against the Buccaneers, that final 3rd and 5 play was that run-pass option. Heath Miller is always the pass option for Roethlisberger. I think that you're getting from him what you should expect from him as a veteran tight end that is with a quarterback that he's been with for a long time. It's just solid production, not mind-blowing numbers, but just solid production.
We talk about Antonio Brown a lot. Do you feel there's a lack of consistency, though, from the other guys on the other side from Brown?
Well, yes and no. I mean, Marcus Wheaton is taking advantage of opportunities when he's given them. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger targeted Antonio Brown 12 times last week against Jacksonville, and Le'Veon Bell was the next most targeted receiver at 6. So I think Marcus Wheaton and any other receiver, I mean, granted, Ben Roethlisberger completed passes to 11 different receivers against the Jaguars, but they are spreading the ball around, but there is a lack of consistency, but I can't say it's on the player's fault, but maybe just not getting the opportunities. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers would be wise to start throwing deep to Wheaton more, stretching the field a little bit, as he's been proven to do that against one-on-one coverage. But I think that they just really haven't had the opportunities, if you ask me.
All right, we talked about the defense. They've obviously had the 3 big injuries. How have the 3 players that have filled in for those 3 guys, how well have they performed?
Well, Ike Taylor obviously was replaced on the outside with William Gay, who's not new to the defense. I guess the new player on that position would be Bryce McCain, who comes into the slot to play that slot role that William Gay left. And I think that Bryce McCain is slowly finding his way into the defensive scheme. He's slowly starting to get comfortable. And people forget that this guy is not familiar so much with that Dick LeBeau scheme because he's new. He came in the offseason from the Houston Texans. And his pick six was a great example of what he's able to do in certain situations if given the opportunity. I would say that it's still a step down from if Ike Taylor were healthy, but it's good production nonetheless. Now, the inside linebacker position where Ryan Shazier left, that's a little different story in my opinion, because Sean Spence, although it's a great story, he just does not have the explosion that Ryan Shazier has, and not many people do. I mean, Shazier ran a 40-yard dash at the combine that was faster than I think everyone except for three players, and that includes your running backs and receivers. So that was a step down, and Spence's play has not been up to what Shazier's was, even as a rookie through the first few games of the season. And then I think if you look at those two positions, you definitely see that the Steelers' defense, it's holding up. It's getting better. But Jarvis Jones on the outside is where the big question mark is for me, because when you see Jarvis Jones go down, Arthur Motes should be the guy that comes in. He was also brought in the offseason as a free agent acquisition from the Buffalo Bills. He is only almost sharing time with James Harrison in terms of snap counts now. I'm not sure if that's the way that the defense wants to go in terms of having the ageless wonder as James Harrison out there that many times. They're just not getting pressure on the quarterback and not from that outside linebacker position, and they're not getting it from either side. And that includes Jason Wilson. If you're talking about the three positions of cornerback, inside linebacker, and outside linebacker, I think that they have lacked in all three of those positions, but they've been able to kind of right the ship, and hopefully they can do that for a few more weeks until they get some of those guys back.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's Jeff Hartman, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Great to have him on the show today. Talking about the Steelers, of course, we have Brandon Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation on the show earlier in the week, which you can check out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Next half hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Todd Gurley situation at Georgia. It is a memorabilia situation where it is alleged he signed and received money to sign a series of items. That's what's alleged. The difference between this and Johnny Manziel is actually a matter of timing. Johnny Manziel's issue came up in July of last year. Thus, it gave them time to investigate, and thus it gave them time to then hand down punishment, which ended up being a half game, from the NCAA. Now, this is a Georgia-imposed suspension and not an NCAA-imposed suspension at the moment. Because that was July, they had time to look into it, and it didn't really have a great effect on the season. Gurley's situation happens, obviously, here in October. And they have a game against Missouri tomorrow. So they're going to have to, obviously, change things up. And because it's in the middle of the season, they don't have the luxury of a lot of time. Well, they have time. It's just, for Gurley, it's missing games. And it could come down to even something as simple as time served when it's all said and done. But because it's in the middle of the season, he misses games. Manziel only had to miss a half because his investigation took place in July, and they had time before the season began to look into it and then render a decision. All right, today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Stock up. Football tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Coming up next, news, bottom of the hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. It is Friday. We've made it through another week. High school football coming up tonight and on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Very proud to present Shikellamy football tonight as the Braves take on Shamokin. Looking forward to that this evening with Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort. That comes up this evening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Sunbury family, broadcasting family will have four games across the spectrum coming up tonight on our four stations, but WKOK will have for you Shamokin and Shikellamy this evening. And, of course, we have hit the weekend. If we have hit the weekend, then you're going to do what I don't have the opportunity this week to do because I'm in Ann Arbor tonight. In fact, I am speaking to the Penn State Club of Michigan tonight. Imagine how lonely those people must feel during the course of the year. But I'm speaking to the Penn State Club of Michigan tonight. But believe me, if I was home, I'd be going to Brewer's Outlet tonight to stock up for the weekend. Why? The best selection of imports, domestics, and microbrews. And they have that. I mean, did I mention beer? Oh, yeah. The selection of beer at Brewer's Outlet, outstanding. They also have outstanding selection of snacks, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. It's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. We are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin's been driving around a Lincoln that he had to turn in today. Kevin will tell you a little bit about that later in the show. Looking forward to that. Sunbury Motors, 99 years of excellence. Excellence. You want a car dealership that you want to deal with all the time? You want a car dealership where they get repeat customers? Why don't you find out why they have repeat customers? Okay, that's the kind of trust and bond they have with their customers. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 1115, Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to Tim Owen, Blue Eyed Illustrated, in just a few moments. But a little bit more on the Todd Gurley situation. At Georgia, considered to be one of the leading contenders for the Heisman this year, he's off to a great start. He has rushed for 773 yards. He has scored 8 touchdowns. He's averaging better than 8 yards per carry this year. And when you watch him, you know, obviously, this guy is a quality back. And the NCAA, it was initially, I think, reported that the NCAA had suspended him. That's not true. Georgia actually suspended him. It actually came from Georgia. And Andy Staples of SI.com has done a great job of tracking some of this down. Part of Andy's story on SI.com is that he's been able to confirm that Georgia's compliance office this week, that they're looking into a report that Gurley may have been paid $400 to have signed up to at least 80 items on campus back in the spring. Did it evidently all at once. And the person claims that they have a photo and a video of Gurley signing the items. Okay, he can sign all the items he wants. It's the payment part. Evidently, something that's not in a photo or in the video, it doesn't show
any money changing hands in the photo or a video. So the investigation continues. And evidently some of the items were jerseys. And what Andy Staples did is he checked with James Spence Authentication Database. And according to the database, there were 90 consecutively numbered pieces of Todd Gurley signed memorabilia. And then another 20 consecutively numbered pieces of Gurley signed memorabilia. Now, that actually brings the number to 110. James Spence Authentication is they're a leading autograph authenticator. And they say the consecutive numbers, according to them, would suggest that all the items were submitted at once following a large-scale signing. Okay. So, I mean, it's great that they do this. Unclear how much time, of course, Gurley's going to miss. Now, but there's a big difference between the Gurley situation and the Manziel situation. Johnny Manziel was accused of this in the offseason, and it came to light in full force in July of last year, a full 6 weeks before the season began. Thus, there was time to look into it, check it out, then render a decision, which ended up being a half-game suspension. Gurley, his situation takes place during the season. So how much time he might miss just from the investigation and what the result is, obviously we have to wait and see. But he is definitely suspended indefinitely. He obviously will, without question, miss tomorrow's game with Missouri. And now we have to see how it plays out. And it brings up once again whether or not, you know, players can sell autographed items to get money for themselves. And, you know, we've just gone through the O'Bannon case, which is an appeal and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of items going on with money for college athletes and getting it to them. And the Big Ten put out its four-point plan this week, which obviously is very pro-student-athlete. And a lot of really solid proposals in there, so I understand that. Then there's the Niners quarterback Colin Kaepernick. Fined $10,000 because he was wearing Beats by Dre headphones after the NFL had signed a deal with Bose. I'm confused about this part. Why can the NFL sell a deal with Bose to make the players wear Bose? I mean, did the NFL Players Association sign away that? What happened to individual freedom where, you know, if I go out and I want to buy Steve Jones wearing Dre headphones. Yeah, okay. But what if I wanted to? Because that's the pair I like. Of course, Kaepernick obviously has an endorsement deal with them. So, I mean, let's remember that part. But what happened to that kind of independence? I could see, for example, look, you have to wear a Nike uniform jersey. You just can't go out and wear your own Reebok jersey. Well, that's team-issued, league-issued material. Wearing headphones is not league-issued. It's independent, at least I thought. Now, if you know more about that, I don't know. All right, let's get to the recruiting part of it. Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated follows a recruiting all the time. Tim, welcome. Great to have you with us. Tim Owen on his bye week did what?
I actually had an engagement party back home. I got engaged back in the summertime, and family threw an engagement party this past weekend. So I went home, back up to the northern part of the state, and spent some time with family and friends. It was great to get away for a couple days.
And when is the date? When's the date? First of all, congratulations. When's the date?
Thank you. Next summer sometime. I don't think we have it solidified yet, but.
No, it's okay. Brian and I have several. We have several days available too.
You also let me know.
Sure, if you have a door big enough to get the stadium-sized stretch marks through, sure, I'll go.
Steve's a killer DJ. Just so you know, he comes at a very cheap price.
Tim, I don't think you may be aware, but
the sky is falling.
So, the wheels are falling off.
So what has happened here with everything, and how interested have you been by the reaction?
Well, the reaction's been the best part. Yeah, it seems like, you know, you read our message board, and it almost seems like the wheels have fallen off of Penn State recruiting, you know, ever since Brandon Wimbush decommitted Tuesday. But you look at it, Penn State's still number 9 in the recruiting rankings overall, you know, by Rivals.com. If you take away all the SEC programs ahead of them, they're the 3rd best recruiting class still in the country. You know, they have an average star rating of almost 3.6. They have a better recruiting class than schools like LSU, UCLA, Texas, Oregon, Florida, Oklahoma even. So it's a big loss losing Brandon Wimbush because he's a great talent. I've seen him play a couple times at different camps, you know, watching him on TV at St. Peter's Prep. He's an unbelievable talent. It's definitely a loss, but the wheels aren't necessarily falling off Penn State recruiting right now. You know, they're still in decent shape. There's still 2 very good quarterbacks on the roster right now that are redshirting and will have 4 years of remaining eligibility. So, you know, they could afford to lose Wimbush. It hurts them, but they can afford it. Not necessarily a end-all, be-all type of decommitment or switch to Notre Dame. But all is not lost. They're still, you know, in the top 10 here, according to Rivals.com, still in some good shape with a couple remaining uncommitted recruits. It's just the last week or so haven't been going as swimmingly as they have been since Franklin arrived. You know, whether it's Wimbush's decommitment, Jordan Whitehead committed to Pitt last week over Penn State, over West Virginia and Ohio State as well. And then defensive tackle Adam McLean, he's been committed to Penn State since the April blue-white game, and he announced via Twitter that he'll be taking 5 official visits, one of which will be Penn State, so it's no need to panic there quite yet. But, yeah, it's just since James Franklin's been here, it's been one good piece of recruiting news after the other, and so much hasn't been the case the last few days.
You still have a sophomore quarterback, and as you mentioned, Michael O'Connor and Trace McSorley each, if they don't play a down this season, will have 4 years of eligibility remaining. Has that been lost in the translation because of all this?
I think so. I think that always kind of gets lost in recruiting. I think, you know, one of the reasons recruiting is such a, you know, hot topic every single year is everybody who commits, someone out there thinks they're the next best thing and, you know, the best player that Penn State's going to have on their roster. And when you redshirt, you know, like Michael O'Connor and Trace McSorley are right now, it's easy to be the forgotten man because you're not out there and on the field Saturdays and, you know, you're not even seeing many reps in practice and things like that. So it's easy to kind of forget about the talent that's on hand. You know, Michael O'Connor was a similar rated quarterback to Brandon Wimbush. McSorley had, you know, oodles of success down in Virginia, you know, one of the most successful quarterbacks in Virginia high school history. So I think it's just the nature of recruiting. Everybody who commits is the next best thing, and the people who are on campus and not necessarily contributing, you know, it's easy to kind of fall between the cracks a little bit. But you know, as I said, you know, to begin, the wheels haven't fallen off. There's still some good quarterback depth there, and the staff's hard at work as well, identifying some other targets out there, you know, in the 2015 class. You know, they're asking for transcripts, reaching out, rekindling some contact that they had made earlier in the recruiting process. And then not to mention the 2016 class, the juniors right now. Penn State fits pretty well with a couple of really talented top 250-type quarterbacks in that class. So, you know, Brandon Wimbush, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, is one of the most impressive high school quarterbacks I've seen, you know, with my own eyes, not that I've been around forever, but you know, it appears that he has all the tools to be successful. So it is a loss, but there are other options, 2 of which are on the roster right now.
What are some of the options they're looking at?
Well, in 2016, I think 2 names that jump off the page right now, you know, these are still juniors in high school. Jake Zembiak, he's up from Rochester, New York. He's very interested in Penn State. I'd go as far as saying Penn State's his leader and has been his leader. He's ranked in the top 250 in the country for that class, and it has the size and the tools that you're looking for. And then the more familiar name maybe for Pennsylvania high school football fans is Brandon McIlwain from the Philadelphia area. He's a very talented dual threat quarterback who makes a ton of plays down for Council Rock, and he's on Penn State's board. I don't think he has Penn State ranked as high as Zembiak does, but they sit well with both of those guys. And I assume now that Wimbush is out of the picture, there will only be more emphasis on those guys. Now in the 2015 class, though, I still expect Penn State to sign a quarterback. I think that's just kind of James Franklin's philosophy, is to sign at least one quarterback. And I remember when they were first hired back in the winter, they even mentioned that ideally, if scholarships allow, if room allows, they'd like to take two quarterbacks in every class or every other class. So I definitely expect them still to go after one quarterback in the 2015 cycle, the senior class. We're just still trying to figure out who that would be. You go back through rivals' rankings here, and every four-star quarterback, every five-star quarterback has already committed to a school. Most three-star quarterbacks have committed to a school already. So Penn State has to go back through and, like I said, rekindle some relationships that they had prior to Wimbush committing. The only problem is the relationships that they had built with a lot of these guys are committed to other schools, whether they're from the Pac-12, SEC, ACC, other Big Ten schools. It kind of creates a little bit of a double-edged sword now. Penn State has a quarterback who flips commitments. It might just so happen that Penn State has to go out and find a quarterback and then urge him to flip a commitment to Penn State. So, it hurts Penn State right now losing Wimbush, but it also might have a ripple effect where it hurts another program, perhaps even a Big Ten rival. But we're still trying to identify who those targets will be. We are pretty certain Penn State's reached out to, close to 10 or so quarterbacks in that class. Like I said, whether they're getting transcripts or, just talking to coaches or just reaching out to say, hi, how are you? Do you want to listen to Penn State? So they're on the hunt. They're on the lookout. It'll probably take a couple more weeks, maybe a week or so, until a couple names identify themselves for this 2015 class.
Finally, Tim, your thoughts on Michigan this weekend in Ann Arbor?
I think it's a tough spot, Steve, Penn State. I really do. I'm not a big fan of having a game in between two bye weeks. I just feel like that's a dangerous game, especially when it's against Michigan, who has back against the wall. There's been enough publicity about the turmoil surrounding Michigan, whether it's around the athletic director and Brady Hoke and their handling of Shane Morris and his concussion against Minnesota, or whether it's a student protest. They're even talking about not even showing up for the game for kickoff Saturday. So there's a lot of turmoil out in Michigan, but I think that's kind of going to be what helps spring Michigan, their football players at least, to get on the right page Saturday. And I think they're going to come out swinging. I think they're going to come out firing, which is something Penn State hasn't necessarily done this season. I mean, you go back through and look at the rushing statistics from the first five games, and other than UMass, the running game is basically non-existent. And if they can't come out there and set the tone, Michigan certainly will, I believe. And it's going to be a tough spot. I think it's going to be a close game. My prediction earlier in the week was Michigan's going to pull this out 21-20. We'll see. You didn't call the Northwestern one, so we'll see how it turns out. I just think it's a very tough spot for Penn State traveling out there with Michigan's back against its wall, and with a bye week looming again next week. I just am wondering how difficult it'll be for them to hone in on this game, with all else considered.
Tim, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very much, and again, congratulations.
Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. Talk with him about recruiting. It has been a week where the sky was falling. I have always had a theory on this, and I know people who deeply follow recruiting are not going to agree with this theory, but I always deal with everything after they get here. Because I can't do anything about the part or worry about the part when young men are making decisions. And these are some of the biggest decisions of their lives, by the way. So I'm not going to sit there and criticize a young man over one of the biggest decisions of their in their lives. I mean, because it is, it's not easy. It's not easy. So I've taken the cue that Sever Turetti and JT White used to have here many, many years ago, which Joe Paterno listened to and then passed on. And that is, I don't worry about who's not here. I only worry about who is here. Simple, but also in what I do, it's also much easier to deal with. Next hour, okay, we just heard from Tim Owen and talked about the future. We're going to talk about the near future, Michigan, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We're on beginning at 5:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Chris Adamski coming up next half hour for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review to preview the game. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.